Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week, we read, "They walked without constraint, conversing with a man in front. I was unable to make out the faces in the poor light, but I recognized the angular jaw of Reed Warner. Even though I could not see the features of the children, I did not need to. I knew that Margaret Cox and Benji Hansen were with him." And now, episode 13. My hands burned like they were on fire. Ripping my eyes away from the children, I looked at them and realized I had balled them into fists and that they were shaking and numb. Even though my nails dug into the palms of my one hand and the edges of my monocular cut into the other, I barely felt them. I stretched them several times to get the blood flowing as the wind blew across my forehead, freezing the sweat that had formed during my run. It took every bit of my resolve to not hop the fence and charge after the kids. It was not just anger that drove me. No, it was also guilt. I was ashamed that I'd let my focus be so drawn by Sam back at Reading Market that I hadn't thought of the children until after they had disappeared. They had been right there, within my grasp, and I had let them escape. I sometimes tried to blame Sam for that, but it had been my mistake. Seeing them with Reed made me realize that, in a way, I had not yet been willing to come to terms with that. I backed away until I was out of view of the compound. Once I was sure I would not be seen, I booked it up a couple of blocks before running flat out to where I had left Chris. Reed and the others were moving quickly. I doubted I would make it back in time. My foot caught on something and I went down hard. Luckily, my reflexes were good, and I broke my fall with my palms and kept my head from slamming into the concrete. I slid on my side as I skidded forward. Grabbing hold of a bench that I had narrowly missed and ignoring the flare of pain in my hands, I leapt to my feet and pushed ahead, a little slower and watching more carefully. After almost taking another fall, a minute or so later, I lurched to a stop. I would never make it back in time. Not before they had left the compound. This was the best lead I had had in weeks. I could not afford to let short-sightedness get in the way. I fished my phone from my pocket. Mercifully, it had not taken any damage in the fall. "Where are you?" Chris demanded. I sucked in a deep, hoarse breath before responding. "A black Suburban is about to leave the compound. It has the kids and Reed. Follow them. Don't wait for me." My words were met with silence. It was hard to avoid saying, "I told you so," about Reed's connection to the kids, but I managed it somehow. "Are you there?" I asked. "I wasn't fully awake when you left," Chris said. "You didn't say where you were going or even why you were leaving." I was taken aback at the anger. Why now? Couldn't she see she was wasting time? The city was burning. We had to put a stop to whatever monstrous plan Reed Warner had in the works. "I know," I said, my voice like cold steel as I spoke through gritted teeth. "I am sorry." I was not, but was willing to say whatever I needed to get her past it. Another long moment passed while I gasped for breath. Chris was a logical woman. I had done worse, and she had forgiven me because it had furthered her own agenda. She would do it again if only to avoid Maxine's wrath. "I see them," she said. "I'll follow after." The phone went dead. I shoved it back into my pocket and burst into a run. I knew I was not going to make it, so I ran slow enough to avoid taking another spill. When I got to the street where I had left Chris, the SUV was gone. I pulled to a stop and leaned against a building while I fought for breath. My heart thudded in my chest and my head was dizzy. I was afraid I was in danger of falling over if I was not careful. I could not remember the last time I had been so winded after running. I also couldn't stop thinking of how the kids had walked with Reed Warner, clearly thinking of him as a mentor or a leader, just as I had thought of Beltran. I thought of the accidents in which their parents had died. How could I prove Reed had arranged those? My gut told me it would be difficult. The children had walked with heads held high, as if they had a purpose and a plan. It reminded me of how I felt back when I had been recruited to be a part of Blackbrick. When Beltran had recruited me as a child, I hadn't been smart enough to ask any questions. I was just glad for the opportunity to belong to something again. It hadn't been a family, but it had helped fill the void. My phone beeped. I expected it was Chris with an update until I saw that it had come from my burner phone. I was surprised to see the caller was Shannon. "Are you calling just to doubt me some more?" I asked upon answering. "No, Jake," she said. "In fact, most here accept this is not you." "Any idea who's behind it?" I asked. I wasn't certain I had anything to gain by revealing what I knew, so just as I had done the night Cherry had betrayed me, I decided to hold back. "I was hoping to ask you the same question." She paused to give me a chance to speak and continued when I did not. "It's getting scary. We need to stop them." I frowned. "We?" She was the one who had left me. I would have left this forsaken city if she had not been so stubborn. Because I had hesitated, she had left in a huff. I was surprised at the feeling of bitterness that swept through me and did my best to keep it from overpowering me. She had done what she had done, and it was for the best. Who could have foreseen Beltran's story would inspire somebody else to the same madness? Nobody else but me could have figured out what Reed was up to. He'd been naive to think he could recruit me, but it at least had helped me identify the problem. Those children did not have any idea they had taken up with their parents' killers. I curled my free hand into a fist and had to stop from punching the brick wall behind me. Thinking of them made me realize I could not be selfish. I might need Shannon's help, and could not afford to turn her away without giving her something. I just had to be careful. "I do have a lead I'm working," I said. "We can help," she said. Something in her voice gave me pause. I had been about to say it was an admirer of Beltran, but stopped short. "I appreciate the offer," I said, "but I'm not ready to share anything yet." Shannon lowered her voice so it was barely audible. There must have been other people nearby that she did not want to overhear. "I didn't have to let you go outside of Benny's diner. Don't forget that. You owe me." I hadn't, but the corporation she worked for was looking for me and they had leased Spectrum to Data Raider. It was possible Reed was acting on Peck's behalf, just as I suspected Payne and Martinez of doing. "Is Cherry on active duty?" I asked. "What makes you ask?" Shannon's voice was still a whisper. I could tell by her tone I wasn't going to get anything more out of her. "Stay by the phone," I said, disconnecting. I stared at the screen, wondering if she was too. Despite everything that had happened, I still thought of her. I was a fool, though, because I didn't think she thought of me. Our past relationship had kept her from capturing me. I doubted it was good for little more than that. My smartphone beeped and my blood ran cold when I saw it was another news alert that linked to a video. Turning the volume down low, I pressed play. "Data Raider has not paid enough," the fake me said. My image walked in the dark alongside a building that looked familiar, not by a long shot. My voice was cold and my eyes intense. "It's time they are brought low." The clip ended as I realized the setting of the video. It was one of the buildings back at the Data Raider complex. Reed was going to target his own compound.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.